From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I'm Amanda and it's nice for me to accompany you today with our programs. We begin our program with the news. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Anya Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encourages regional governments to speed up financial access. The United Kingdom and Indonesia collaborate in endeavors to eradicate corruption. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encouraged regional governments to accelerate financial access to public because the literacy rate is still relatively low, which is 35%, and financial inclusion of 75%. It was said by President Joko Widodo when he opened the National Coordination Meeting for the acceleration of regional financial access and the national gathering of the Bank Wakaf Mikro in Jakarta on Tuesday. President encouraged the acceleration of access to public finance, both for access to savings and credit. To save money, head of state encouraged elementary, junior high, and senior high school students, as well as vocational high schools, are educated to save and have banking access. The president also stated that saving is related to the duties of the Department of Education and Culture. Meanwhile, for credit matters, the president explained there are Bank Wakaf Mikro programs that are currently existed at 55 Islamic boarding schools and those will be aided gradually. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is preparing a regulation to combat tuberculosis or TBC in Indonesia, according to Chief of the Stop TB Partnership Forum for Indonesia or FSTPI Arifin Panigoro. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Panigoro in a meeting with President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday explained that one point highlighted by the president to ensure smooth cooperation among ministries and institutions is that he is preparing a presidential regulation on combating TBC. Through the presidential regulation, not only the Health Ministry, but also the Home Affairs Ministry and other relevant ministries can partake in efforts to eradicate TBC. Regions in Indonesia have a strong autonomy, so regional heads, including governors and district heads, play a very important role. President said, "What Indonesia is doing is only combating TB or TBC. The government will report this to the presidents of Indonesia, China, and India that bear witness to the largest number of TBC cases in the world, so that they must be serious about combating it." The United Kingdom or UK and Indonesia are working hand in glove in corruption eradication initiatives through the Global Anti-Corruption Program worth £45 million sterling. The statement from the UK Embassy in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that the British government is implementing the Global Program on Corruption Prevention Initiatives in several countries, including Indonesia, by stepping up the capacity of authorities to fight corruption, promote business integrity, boost transparency of ownership benefits, and digitalize public procurement. The activities conducted through the Global Anti-Corruption Program complement the UK government's anti-corruption strategy for the 2017-2022 period, during which the UK will cooperate with other nations to combat corruption and bring about an improvement in the global business environment. British Deputy Ambassador to Niger, Rob Fenn, stated that corrupt practices threaten market integrity, undermine fair competition, deter foreign investment, and undermine public confidence and the rule of law. The Indonesian government sent two Indonesian warships, or KRI, namely KRI Usman Harun 359 and KRI Sultan Iskandar Muda 367 to Dili, East Timor, to participate in the Indonesia Maritime Envoy 19B activities to carry out a four-day diplomacy mission in the country. As quoted by Antara News Agency, KRI Commander Usman Harun 359 Colonel Himawan at the Naval Base Command Base 7, Kupang, on Monday explained that the two historic warships were sent to become Indonesian maritime ambassadors for countries that have direct borders with Indonesia in this regard, Timor Leste. He also said that the main task is to increase diplomacy related to maritime affairs. He added the activity of Indonesia Maritime Envoy 19B is aimed at increasing cooperation between Indonesia and Timor Leste, which had ever been the 27th province of Indonesia. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto explained that the management of business licenses for trading through electronic systems or e-commerce will be simplified and free of charge. As quoted by Antara News Agency, business license for businesses that selling its products in e-commerce are supposed to have a business license as stipulated in Government Regulation No. 80, Year 2019, concerning trading through electronic systems or PPE commerce. It was stated by Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto at the 2019 Indonesian E-commerce Forum in Jakarta on Monday. The Minister of Trade explained, with the issuance of the e-commerce PP, it is expected to provide clear policies to protect consumers from detrimental things. Delegations of Czech Republic met the Governor of Yogyakarta, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, at Kepatihan Office Yogyakarta on Monday. They discussed plans for a project cooperation of a railway facility construction that will connect the city of Yogyakarta with the Yogyakarta International Airport. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Czech Republic delegations consisted of Secretary of the Czech Foreign Minister Miloslav Stasek, Czech Ambassador to Indonesia Ivan Hotek, and Director of the Office of the Czech State Secretariat Arnos Karas. After the meeting, Miloslav Stasek explained several companies in Czech Republic are currently interested in participating in a transportation project that connects the Jakarta city with the new airport in Kulon Progo. Meanwhile, Sultan Hamengkubuwono X explained if it is realized, the train that will later connect the Jakarta International Airport with the city of Jakarta is a Czech model train. And the last item, the Taiwanese government reiterated its commitment to boosting investment and trade cooperation with Indonesia on account of a myriad newfangled opportunities sprouting up in various Indonesian provinces. Economic and trade relations between Indonesia and Taiwan showed an upward trend, as was mirrored by Taiwan's direct investment in Indonesia surpassing $400 million this year, he noted in a written statement released on Tuesday. In the meantime, trade between Indonesia and Taiwan had registered a 15.7% growth to reach $8.1 billion last year, viewed as being quite significant. However, he believed the cooperation had yet to be expanded to cover other sectors, including the creative economy, which continues to develop in several parts of Indonesia. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encourages regional governments to speed up financial access. The United Kingdom and Indonesia collaborate in endeavors to eradicate corruption. And that's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of commentary for today's edition is Indonesia must be serious in resolving human rights violation cases. Since December 10, 1950, the world has commemorated International Human Rights Day. In Indonesia, the National Human Rights Commission, or Komnas HAM, commemorates the day on Monday, 9th December, attended by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. In his remarks, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin emphasized the government's commitment to resolve the issue of past human rights violations. He also emphasized that the government continues to seek the best solution through studies by various competent agencies. To support the solution, Ma'ruf Amin expects the support of the National Human Rights Commission in conducting studies, research, and mediation. He also said that the government is committed to making concrete efforts to fulfill human rights in the fields of civil and political rights, economic, social, and cultural rights, which have not yet been fully achieved. He also assessed the need for an ongoing process to achieve better human rights standards or qualities. Meanwhile, Chairman of the National Human Rights Commission, Ahmad Taufan Damanik, explained that past extraordinary human rights violations are still the homework of Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin government. In addition, there are still other problems related to agrarian conflicts and natural resources. More importantly, there are problems of intolerance, discrimination, and extremism with violence that can disrupt economic and political development. Komnas HAM recorded 11 cases of extraordinary human rights violations which have been handled, such as the 1965 tragedy, Talangsari case, mysterious shooting or Petrus, May 1998 riots, missing activists, and the murder of human rights activist Munir. These cases have not been resolved until now. Damanik supports the plan of Coordination Minister for Political Law and Human Rights, Mahfud MD, who will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission so the cases of human rights violations can be resolved without delay. For Damanik, this is a step forward by the government. However, Damanik believes that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission should start revealing the truth first. What will be reconciled if the truth is not revealed? Indonesia's step forward in fulfilling human rights is also recognized by the world. Indonesia has been elected as a member of the United Nations Human Rights Council for the period of 2020 until 2022. This means that the world entrusts international human rights defense to Indonesia as a member of the UN Human Rights Council. Therefore, the Indonesian government must maintain the world's trust by showing its seriousness in resolving cases of extraordinary human rights violations at home. This is consistent with what is mandated in the 1945 Constitution and international human rights. Well, listener, that's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, for the next segment, we present you today in history about historical events. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with the 10th December 1901. The first Nobel Prize is awarded in Stockholm, Sweden. The Nobel Prize is awarded annually to those who have done extraordinary research, discovered new techniques or equipment, or have made outstanding contributions to society. The Nobel Prize is awarded every December the 10th, which is the date Alfred Nobel died. Alfred Nobel is a scientist who bequeathed his wealth to the Nobel Prize since 1901 for people who have contributed in the fields of physics, chemistry, medicine, and peace.
Thank you.
Let's turn to December the 10th, 1948, the first Human Rights Day. Human Rights Day is celebrated on December the 10th every year by many countries around the world, including Indonesia. This date was set by the United Nations General Assembly, which adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, a global statement on human rights, on December the 10th, 1948. The commemoration began in 1950 when the General Assembly invited all concerned countries and organizations to celebrate. I'll conclude with December the 10th, 1957. The Indonesian government establishes the National Oil Company. Indonesian state-owned oil company Pertamina's milestone begins around the 1950s when the government of the Republic of Indonesia appointed the army to establish the exploitation of the North Sumatra oil mine, a company to manage oil fields in the Sumatra region. On December 10, 1957, the company changed its name to PT National Oil Company, abbreviated Permina. This date is celebrated as the birth of Pertamina to the present. In 1960, PT Permina changed its status to state-owned company. Later, Permina joined Pertamina as State Oil and Gas Mining Company, abbreviated as Pertamina, on August 20, 1968. To strengthen this young company, the government issued Law No. 8 in 1971, which placed Pertamina as a state-owned oil and gas company. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Hey, kamu jelita, mengapa kau menatap ku manja, membuatku jatuh cinta pada pandangan pertama. Senyummu jelita selalu membuatku terpana, seolah tak berdaya diterpa badai asmara. Selalu ada, kau selalu ada. Di hariku kini ada kamu yang mengisi semua hatiku. Harus ku coba dapatkan kamu sebelum kau jauh dariku. Takkan lama ku mengejar hingga dunia bersinar lagi. Setiap ku pejamkan mata, kamu selalu ada. Kau
was a song entitled Segera Menjadi Milikku or You'll Be Mine Soon by Adera and Kunto Aji. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you more information in our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned on our program.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Bilateral Consultation of Indonesia-South Africa Pushes Strengthening of Concrete Cooperation. Indonesia and South Africa held bilateral consultations on the sidelines of Bali Democracy Forum on Friday. Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, who led the Indonesian delegation, said that the bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Africa enter a new momentum with the concerning of the first bilateral consultation meeting. As quoted by kemlu.go.id, the Foreign Office consultation is a follow-up to the MOU on the establishment of the Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation that was previously signed by the two countries. Chair of the South African Delegation, Deputy Director General of the Asia and Middle East Department of International Relations and Cooperation, Anil Soklal, said that relations between the two countries that have existed for more than two decades since 1994 need to be supported in more concrete cooperation in the economic field. The meeting discussed bilateral progress between Indonesia and South Africa, including the implementation of the 2017 until 2021 Bilateral Cooperation Plan of Action signed in 2017. During the meeting, the South African side said that it would support Indonesia in forming the preferential trade agreement with the Southern African Customs Union, and in this case, it is open to exploring the possibility of establishing a preferential trade agreement bilaterally with Indonesia if developments with the Southern African Customs Union meet obstacles, including by identifying products that are mutually beneficial to both countries. In addition, both countries also agreed to increase the volume of trade and investment, mainly in the infrastructure, manufacturing, and agriculture sectors. The increase in investment is directed not only at South African inbound investment in Indonesia, but also increasing of Indonesia's outbound investment in South Africa. The meeting also discussed regional and multilateral issues of mutual interest between the two countries, and the two sides agreed to intensify collaboration within the framework of the UN, G20, and Indian Ocean Rim Association, or IORA. On that occasion, the South African delegation also expressed appreciation for Indonesia's leadership at the Bali Democracy Forum as a positive and inspiring platform to promote democracy in the world. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia.
Kau pernah katakan rasa rindu semua hanya padaku. Kau juga ungkapkan rasa sayang untuk yakinkan hati ini. Mengapa kini tiada sehangat I'm anganku.
That was a song titled Dalam Hati Saja or Only in My Heart by Warna. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to bring you information about our culture, tourism, and of course, culinary in our program Indonesian Wonders. Stay tuned with us.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you a culinary called Pacri Nanas. Pineapple is usually consumed as fresh fruit, as a mixture of fruit salad or processed to be jam. Besides that, pineapple can also be enjoyed with rice. Malay people in Sumatra and Kalimantan call the food Pacri Nanas or Pacili Nanas or Pacri Nanas. In accordance with its name, the main material of food is pineapple, which is cooked with spices. The food has reddish brown color with typical fragrance of curry. To maintain the freshness of pineapple and also to eliminate its sour taste, there is a unique way to cook Pacri Nanas. The pineapple is cut and boiled with sugar for around 5 to 10 minutes. Cooking pineapple with sugar water also functions to maintain its form in order to not easily crush or mushy. Pacri Nanas is usually eaten with rice, dried shrimp, condiment, eggplant, vegetable, and many other side dishes. When being eaten, pineapple in Pacri Nanas food is still crunchy with its fresh containing water. There is a bit of fresh sour, savory of its curry spicy taste. Combination of the taste makes the food delicious. Pacri Nanas can also become fatty food antidote. So, no wonder if the food is often served with fatty food such as rendang, goat curry, or goat satay. Pacri Nanas is also usually served in the event of wedding, circumcision, and other traditional ceremony. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Just listen to a song titled Juwita or Beautiful by Aditya. For the next segment, let's listen to our program Let's Speak Indonesian Language. You will get to know more how to speak and learn Indonesian language in easy way.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Please Come In or Silakan Masuk. Joko invited Tony to drink coffee that has been served for him.
Silakan minum kopinya.
Oh, terima kasih. Enak.
Ya, itu kopi luwak.
Kamu tidak minum?
Saya sedang puasa.
Oh, maaf.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Kopi, which means coffee. Silakan minum kopinya. Silakan minum kopinya, which means please enjoy the coffee. Enak, which means delicious. Itu kopi luwak, which means it is luwak coffee. Kamu tidak minum? Kamu tidak minum, which means why don't you drink? Saya sedang puasa. Saya sedang puasa, which means I'm fasting. Silakan masuk, which means please come in. Silakan duduk, which means please take a seat. Saya hanya sebentar, which means I'm just for a moment. The word to invite others in Indonesian language is silakan, which means please. For example, silakan minum kopinya, or please enjoy the coffee. Silakan masuk, or please come in. Silakan duduk, or please take a seat. When you are allowed to do something but you cannot do it, you have to refuse it politely. For example, silakan masuk, or please come in. Maaf, di sini saja. Or I just here. Saya hanya sebentar. Or I'm just for a moment. Silakan coba kuenya. Or please enjoy the cake. Maaf, saya sedang puasa. Or sorry, I'm fasting. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Silakan minum kopinya.
Oh, terima kasih. Enak.
Ya, itu kopi luwak.
Kamu tidak minum?
Saya sedang puasa.
Oh, maaf.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
was a song entitled Kasih or Love by Phoebe. You're still with me on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you our program Music Corner. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a Malay song entitled Hasrat Malam, which is sung by Toto Syam. The song Hasrat Malam tells about someone's anxiety and sadness because the lover left them. Love letter, which is sent by his lover, is repeatedly read as solace. In accordance with the melancholic lyrics, the song has slow tempo with mellow rhythm. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Hasrat Malam, sung by Toto Syam.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for joining our broadcasting. Don't forget to give us your comments and feedbacks by sending us your email to our email address voi@voinews.id. Also, check out our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiceindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for joining us and have a great day.